Conversation number 38-92. Portions of a telephone conversation between the President and Henry A. Kissinger. These portions were recorded on April 17th through April 18th, 1973, at an unknown time between 11:45 p.m. and 12:04 a.m. The following is segment one.
Well, rather a hard day, wasn't it?
Well, it was hard for you.
Yeah.
When I didn't know you had made the statement you did until the evening. When I think of the discipline with which you conducted the meeting in the morning.
And then going through the evening. You know. The problem I have is that I can't look at it in the detached way I really should. Well, these people, goddammit, they're guilty. Throw them out and go on. But just the personal things are, goddamn. I think of these good men.
That's right. Who wanted to do the right thing. And,
well, it's going to splash on a lot of them. And anyway...
Well, I think the way you have positioned it now is the right way to do it.
Of course, Garment, as you know, was having the idea that I should get up and announce that I'd fired Haldeman, Ehrlichman, and Dean, and that, without waiting until they get up the name. The real culprit is Mitchell, of course. He's in charge of the whole goddamn thing, and John Mitchell should step up like a man and say, look, I was in charge, I take the responsibility, period.
Exactly. All the more so if doing the opposite won't help them any.
Nope, they're going to get him.
No, I think to fire Haldeman would make him the villain.
Well, in the end, he would probably have to go, Henry. They're going to, you know, rip him up good.
Well, if that's the case, then he should get out before.
Well, but not until I have absolute evidence. I'm not going to fire a guy on the basis of a charge made by Dean, who basically is trying to save his ass and get immunity, you see. That's why I had that phrase in there that no immunity should be granted to a top person.
Yeah.
He has no right to do that.
No, that's absolutely... I mean, I think that is outrageous. No, I just have no way... I have no good feel for where... I think you would not have improved the situation if you had suddenly, without any preparation, turned on all your associates.
Yep.
And...
Well, we have two or three hard months ahead. It's going to be real rough.
Well, the major thing now, Mr. President, if I may say so, is to protect the presidency and your authority.
That'll be hard because... Some of these people will even piss on the president if they think it'll help them.
Well...
Pretty hard. I'm the only one, frankly, of the whole bunch who really didn't know a goddamn thing, you know, about it until March, when I finally, Dean came in and said, well, here's where it is, which he should have done months ago.
Well, they really know where they're at, and they tried to, instead of stepping back and assessing where they were, got in deeper and deeper.
That's right.
But I think the absolute, I mean, to protect the place.
Well, if we can, we will, but if we don't, what the hell?
We can, Mr. President.
Maybe we'll, I've even considered the possibility of, frankly, just throwing myself in the sword and letting Agnew take it, what the hell?
That is out of the question, with all due respect, Mr. President. That cannot be considered.
Well,
the personality, what it would do to the presidency and to the historical injustice of it. Why should you do it? And what good would it do? Whom would it help? It It wouldn't help the country. It wouldn't help any individual involved. But with all respect, I don't think a president has a right to sacrifice himself for an individual. And it would, of course, be personally unjust.
Well, maybe.
I think we have to dig.
Well, I've had kind of a few tough meetings, you know. I've had dinners the night after Cambodia. I had one on after the May 8th thing. We had a dinner, and they were tough. But, boy, I'm telling you, tonight, that was a hard one for me to get through. I don't think the audience sensed it. But
no one sensed it. No one. In fact, I didn't know you had made a statement, so one of my dinner partners said, "Isn't it astonishing how the president is behaving, considering what he's done today?" I said, "Yes, he's had a tough meeting in the morning, but he does that all the time." She said, "No, the statement was Mrs. Guest." So it was an astonishing performance. But I think, Mr. President, it can be...
Well, to the extent you can, and you're talking to people, you may have to mention really very strongly these personal things, if it'll help. I don't know. May not help.
No, it will help, Mr. President. And if the stuff, any stuff gets out, then there has to be ruthless surgery, or as the stuff gets out.
Oh, it will. There will. Hell. The axe will fall.
It's impermissible to touch the president. That cannot be permitted. And whatever price. And I'm sure that even Bob wouldn't want that.
Oh, no, Bob is willing to. Bob and John both are willing to throw themselves in the sword, although when they do, they're going to fight like hell.
But one of them ought to stay.
I would hope so. But I'm afraid it can't be Haldeman. I'm afraid the only one that possibly could be saved would be Ehrlichman, and that's tough, too.
But I think you've positioned it correctly, that as evidence comes out, that for you to fire them all now would look like panic.
Well, that's the Garment line. What do you think of his line?
Well, Garment wants you to fire Haldeman, Dean.
And Ehrlichman.
I don't know whether he wants you to fire Ehrlichman, too.
Yep.
Well, it's a possibility. I don't know what the evidence is, but...
The evidence is, at this time, charges made that have not been corroborated yet. But there...
Well, if there's a good chance that they'll have to go as a result of what happened, then I don't think you should fire them. They ought to resign on the ground that their usefulness is impaired, that they have to be above, like Caesar's wife.
Mm-hmm. We'll think about it. Do our best.
But I think it does you credit to have stood as you have. And in any event, today you were right to go no further.
This concludes segment one of conversation number 38-92. The following is segment two of conversation number 38-92, portion of a telephone conversation between the President and Henry A. Kissinger. This portion was recorded on April 17th through April 18th, 1973, at an unknown time between 11:45 p.m. and 12:04 a.m.
Well, don't you get discouraged. You,
Mr. President, I'm not discouraged.
You do your job. You, two or three of us have got to stick around, try to hold the goddamn fort.
You have saved this country, Mr. President. The history books will show that when no one will know what Watergate means.
Maybe, although our enemies, Well, this proves that we were obstructed justice.
Oh, and in 6 months, no one will know it anymore. It's a human tragedy for Haldeman and Dean and a few of those fellows. Haldeman is a big man, Mr. President, and he'll...
Dean is the real fellow that's really going to be the loose cannon, because he's trying to save his ass, trying to get immunity. That's why I had in that little phrase that no immunity should be granted to any top person.
Yeah.
And that's going to burn his ass, because then he'll thrash out about everything you can imagine.
Yeah.
Although Ziegler made an interesting point. He has goddamn little credibility. After all, he was making the report.
That's right.
He was the one that said there was no involvement, and that's what we relied on.
That's right.
And took him till February or March of this year before he finally came in and said, well, here it is.
That's right.
And it's a little damn late, isn't it?
I just fired him as soon as it comes out. And let him scream from the outside.
I guess so. Well, we will, when the time comes. Well, you know, nobody really will know that what they put a president through on a thing like this.
Well, it's inhuman, Mr. President, and it's... Because these bastards know damn well that you couldn't have known about it. That if one considers all the things you had to go through, you couldn't be a police judge, too. You're running the government. You're doing all the negotiating. You're carrying a bigger load than any president has. Top of it, they want you to...
Good God, we were going to Russia and China and ending the war and negotiating. I wasn't even thinking about the goddamn campaign, you know. I had nothing to do with the damn campaign, as you know.
Of course.
That's the tragedy. I wish to Christ maybe that I had, but if I'd been spending time in the campaign, maybe we wouldn't pull off the Vietnam.
If you can't rely on your own people to tell you the facts, then it's rather difficult. And if you had done that, we might still be in the war.
This concludes segment 2 of conversation number 38-92. The following is segment 3 of conversation number 38-92, portion of a telephone conversation between the President and Henry A. Kissinger. This portion was recorded on April 17th through April 18th, 1973, at an unknown time between 11:45 p.m. and 12:04 a.m.
And in the meantime, put your arm around Haldeman and Ehrlichman.
You can count on it, Mr. President.
And,
I've been standing by Haldeman. I didn't know Ehrlichman was in trouble, though.
Yeah.
No, you can count on the fact that I'll stand by them. But the major person to stand by now is you.
We shall see. But at least old Sinatra gave him a lift, and I thought the dinner was rather nice, you know.
The whole evening was beautiful.
PM was nice, and we, you know, it was light and yet fun for everybody.
The whole evening was beautiful.
Well, sleep on it. We'll all try to get some ideas. I don't think Garmin's judgment is very good. I don't, you know, I mean... He panics so easily, you know, he panicked on Cambodia and everything else earlier. And
that's right. That's been my experience.
I just feel that
Mr. President,
we may have to...
So far, you haven't got the evidence.
Mm-mm.
If you get some evidence that makes it look that the fellows can't be held...
If it's hard evidence, though, goddammit, I'm not going to...
You get hard evidence...
It's got to be corroborated. I ain't going to let them do it on a basis of...
Then you ought to fire the people against whom you have evidence, and the others ought to consider resigning.
Yep. it'll be a great day on the other side for the all of our enemies, won't it? Times opposed to us, shit.
That's right, Mr. President.
They
put together the wagons and pull it through, as you've done so often.
Well, no, what's really disturbing is that the comparing this goddamn thing with Teapot Dome, for Christ's sakes, which was thievery on a massive basis, isn't what this is all about.
That's right, Mr. President, and in a year that will be clear.
Take that long, I'm afraid.
Well, maybe less. I think if the major thing now is to pull to get the pus out of the system.
Yeah.
And let it be squeezed out a little at a time.
That's right, that's right.
And I think
the grand jury will get a hell of a lot that done.
Once you have all the facts, I think you should consider then at least cleaning at least that part of the house that must be cleaned.
Right.
However,
right. Okay, Henry.
Right, Mr. Clinton.
This concludes segment 3 of conversation number 38-92. This concludes the abuse of government power segments for conversation number 38-92.